Blog Talk Radio.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Welcome to the shadows
of the night zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the night zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission. For the next hour, and we will control all that is here. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind of the Night Zone. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Caveat Emptor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and monsieur, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of The Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight, and I shall be your guide through the shadows of tonight's show. Tonight, two of our favorite guests return for the full hour. Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts from the Haunted Paranormal International, the HPI, headquartered in California, with branches throughout the United States of America. Shannon is the owner of HPI, Paul Dale Roberts, the general manager and Pied Piper of the paranormal. We'll be discussing their recent caseload, an upcoming Penn and Teller TV special on July the 16th, 2009 at 10 p.m. on the Showtime television station. Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts, right after this.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or hosts. We remind all of our listeners, Caveat Emptor. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Yes, I could listen to that music all night. Hey, Hans, put down the Wiener Schnitzel. We have a show to do. Can you give me the complete audio on that artist? I'd appreciate it. Was that a yes or yes? Thanks. Did I startle you, Hans? Uh-oh, ladies and gentlemen, I think I startled my producer. He almost choked to death. Sorry about that. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have with us tonight Shannon McCabe, a.k.a. Miss Macabre, HPI owner, and Paul Dale Roberts, the general manager of the HPI, and our very own Pied Piper of the Paranormal. Tonight's focus website is, of course, HPI Paranormal, one word, .net. Shannon and Paul, welcome back to the Shadows of the Night Zone, guys.
Hello, Colin.
How are you?
Hey, Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys, doing good. Hey, last week during our production meeting when we were getting ready for this show, we made a conscious decision to avoid anything Michael Jackson for a while, believing we'd kind of get through the media unscathed. So today, as we're getting ready for the show, I checked the HPI site, and what pops up right in front of my face? A darn YouTube video of the possible apparition at Neverland Ranch live on Larry King. What the heck's with this, guys?
Just beat it, beat it, beat it. Beat it, beat it, beat it. know, as I was telling you earlier, Colin, we got to ride, you know, the gravy train. And if people want to hear about Michael Jackson, we, as paranormal investigators, need to put the information out there. Not that they haven't seen it all day long on television today, but, you know, why the heck not?
Well, I don't think they actually caught on to the apparition yet.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't really, I haven't seen it on television per se, but it's all over the internet.
Well, I know Larry King's going to be all over this when he hears about the
You know what I like? I like about Larry King is he's kind of into the paranormal, and he does these crazy little videos and they make me laugh. So
yeah.
I'm always down for a Larry King story.
Oh, absolutely. so tell me that if this is an apparition, is this a residual haunting, do you think, or possibly a spiritual haunting?
You know, I personally can't make that assumption because I wasn't there. If I was there, I might be able to give you a better answer, but all I see is, you know, 10 seconds on a film of something that looks like a shadow. You know, it's very possible that it was a person standing in that room that walked past and it just happened to make a shadow that the camera caught.
Right.
I'm sure there's staff at that place, you know, even though it's not owned by Michael Jackson himself, people are working there and they have to run the place. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it could have been just a human. I don't know.
Well,
but,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I got contacted by a gentleman named Richard Sennett today.
Okay.
Who is inquiring about having Paul and I go down with him possibly to Neverland Ranch and do an investigation.
Hello.
Now, whether or not they're going to let us in is a whole other story, because I bet every single paranormal group on the face of the earth is trying to get in there.
I'm
going to be the luck of the draw.
Well, when we discovered this YouTube that was on your site, the team over here went all over it. You know, our video dude, researcher, he went to town. He had willful intent to debunk the video. Because that's what he gets off on, I guess. He downloaded the YouTube, converted it to a media file. He chopped it up and cutting into the frames, you know, where the apparition
uh-huh.
actually was. And he checked the time of day, the daylight source. He even checked the floor plan of Jackson's Neverland home and concluded after 4 hours of painstaking work that it's an unknown shadow or apparition.
Well, you know what? Can I steal him from you?
Well,
I can really use him on my team.
He's definitely
fantastic.
He's definitely available.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he broke the video apart pretty good. One of our researchers believed it was a vehicle moving in the driveway. Apparently, the driveway goes right by the left side of the video. However, she wouldn't bank any money on it. So,
yeah, it very well could be. I mean, it could be just a number of things, but it truly does look like a person walking. But, you know, I mean, you can see a face in the grain of in grain of wood, you
yeah.
know, so your mind tells you what you want it to
oh,
do.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So
absolutely.
It's like, who knows?
But
I'd love to believe that it is.
Yeah.
That would be great.
So would I, actually. I tell you what, the TC Research 1 email, that's our guest search email. It's been inundated with possible sightings and stories involving
wow.
Michael Jackson. You know, it's bizarre. We received an email on Saturday from a young man in England who believes he is channeling music from Michael Jackson. He promised me a sample soundbite for verification, and we're going to check him out. And, you know, we'll let people know if we book him or not.
That sounds very, very interesting.
But yeah.
I'd love to hear that.
He seemed quite serious. You know, he left a lot of information there, so he wasn't hiding it. He just believes that he is channeling music from Michael Jackson.
Very interesting that Michael would choose him.
Very interesting indeed, because, you know, he's way up north in the north of England. Michael Jackson has never done any concerts in that area. He has no contact with him that he knows of. So, but we will check it out. And
I would love to hear that.
We'll
that would be really
happening.
Cool.
So, if this is an apparition, would it be safe to say that a spirit would go to a place where they were most happiest?
I don't see why not. You know, when we go to haunted locations, and we hear, you know, stories of parties going on and, you know, residual hauntings like that. Yeah, I mean, I hear it all the time, so it makes complete sense to me. And yeah, the public wants to believe that, you know, it's the ghost public, I should say, wants to believe that it's Michael's spirit. And, you know, it probably makes people happy knowing that he's there at his, you know, his wonderful little very own Disneyland, I guess.
Right.
I mean, I guess if I were him, that's where I'd want to hang out.
Well, it would make sense. Yeah, he seems to be the happiest there. On the other side of the coin, Shannon, and if an angry spirit tends to haunt areas of violent or sudden death, is that why you hear about the stories of some ghost walking a train track or walking the old gallows in London? Is that where this comes from? That they?
I do believe you're right. Yeah, I think that I absolutely feel that way. You know, and Paul's done investigations of like serial killer sites where we've gotten EVPs and stuff. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, things just they hang out. You know,
yeah.
And it's a really strange phenomenon that we'll probably never be able to explain. But that's what makes it so fun.
That's what makes it so interesting to try and
yeah.
divulge it. Eh? When you accept a file for investigation, Shannon, do you do a historical check of the building or a historical of
sure
the area?
Do. We sure do. We have a couple of researchers on our team, one named Kirsten and one named David Mace, and they're both really good researchers, and they really delve deep into the history of the buildings and.
Right.
You know, kind of find out how many deaths were there, you know, births, deaths, floods, fires, all kinds of information that can pop up historically. And so we like to look over that first. And then we kind of also like to go in, you know, dry where we don't know anything.
Right.
Because then, you know, you're not expecting anything. And whatever happens is more of an exciting time, I guess. But, yes, we do it both ways.
Wow. Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, we're going to do a quick station break here for our relay stations around the world. Hang in there. We're going to do a quick break, and we'll be right back. We'll talk to Paul about the St. Jersey Church investigation. How about that?
Sounds good.
Phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. The shadows of the night zone.
We'll be right back
with the Pied Piper of the Paranormal, Mr. Paul Dale Roberts,
right after this.
In the shadows of the night zone, we explore the global secret societies who have purposely capsized the world economy to impose global world order. The Illuminati operating in the shadows to impose global order and prepare for the second coming. The Illuminati exposed in the night zone. Check the archives for the Illuminati and Mr. Al Kay. The Illuminati on blogtalkradio.com.
We all have busy lives and can't always get to the computer at a set time, date, place, and event. So what do? Well, blogtalkradio.com have come up with the idea. Using your RSS feed, all the archives that Blog Talk Radio provides, you can listen to your favorite show anytime you wish. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, go to your favorite show page, and download the archive, choose the show that you want to listen to, or tune in to the RSS feed and listen to us live. You'll be glad you did.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mabus, with John Hoaxed in the night. Check the archives. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of truth, Colin Knight.
The purveyor of truth. They keep coming up with titles. Well, I have a title for Paul. Paul Dale Roberts, our Pied Piper of the Paranormal. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Colin. I like your old title, the James Bond of the Paranormal. I want that one back.
All right. We'll work on that. You are definitely our James Bond, sir. So tell me, Paul, the 4th of July, 2009, you go to a wedding, you and Miss Macabre McCabe, and you go to this wedding at St. Joseph Church, and you decide before you do your bit, because Shannon's a wedding planner and the likes, you're going to investigate the St. Joseph Church.
Right, and what's kind of amazing is that the St. Joseph Church is in Clarksburg, and Clarksburg has a lot of ghostly stories. There's even a story about a woman who actually is carrying a skull, and there's like these fishermen who actually saw this dirty, like hobo type person that came up to their campfire, and then they thought it was kind of odd, and he was like looking at them, and he asked them, I think, for a cigarette or something like that. But when they got into their car, he was in the middle of the street, and they thought that was really odd, and they turned around because they thought he was dangerous, and when they looked back, he was gone.
Uh-oh.
And that was right along Clarksburg around Sacramento River. So there's all kinds of really weird stories. So I'm thinking, well, if Clarksburg has all these ghostly stories that you can actually find on the Internet, well, wouldn't that mean that the St. Joseph Church is also probably haunted? So I said, you know, Shannon, I said, let's not waste this, you know. I mean, here we got two top ghost hunters here, you know, we're doing a wedding. I said, you know, let's investigate it. You know, and so we did. We did it in the morning, and she tried many times to get some EVPs, and then it looked like we got something. And then later on, after the wedding, we actually went back, and the father let us in, and he knew who we were, you know, who we were, and everything like that. So, and we got a pretty good EVP out of there. So that was kind of interesting.
Okay, and this EVP. What did it say?
It's sort of mumbling. And Shannon, do you still have that EVP from Clarksburg?
I don't have it on this recorder.
Oh, okay.
It's at the office, but I got the one from Cafe.
Oh, she has the one from Cafe. Oh. Yeah, and but it's it sounds like the one from Clarksburg. It sounds like a man's conversation. It sounds like he says, bless the children or something like that. It almost sounds
wow.
like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would kind of get the hairs on your arms up a little bit, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we got this really interesting EVP out of Cape, too. So she'll play that for you in a minute here. One thing, Colin, is really interesting is that we've been getting contact from many, many TV producers, I guess, are interested in our investigations and everything else. But
right.
We've gotten contact by Cartoon Network, True TV, A&E, History Channel's UFO Hunters, History Channel's Monster Quest, and am I missing anybody else?
Animal Planet.
Yeah, because they found out that Shannon and myself, we utilize the dogs in our investigations.
Right.
So she utilizes Rocket the Poodle. I utilize Hyphy, the Corky, and Pika, the Jack Russell Terrier. And we've actually been successful in using dogs.
Interesting. Well, with all of this media hype, I mean, you know, we're going to have to get you a Hollywood mansion or something, a mansion of the stars. You ever thought of living at Neverland?
You know, I would just love to investigate Neverland, you know. I mean, especially with Michael Jackson's demise. I mean, he probably has a lot of unfinished business. So when a person dies with unfinished business, they usually come back.
That's true.
And he had a lot of things going on. I mean, that's why he had insomnia. I mean, he was constantly thinking of this that he wanted to do and making that comeback and doing that concert and everything
right.
else. So he's probably very much a restless spirit.
Yeah, I could see how he would be. He has things undone, you know, and I could see how that would definitely cause him to be restless. But looking at the situation as it stands, he's probably quite happy wherever it is that he's ended up.
Right, right. I mean, he seems like Michael Jackson, even though he has so much going for him, he was still a tormented soul.
Yeah, well, I think that just came from his inability to be able to just deal with the regular world. I mean, we isolated him, really, when you think about it, didn't we? I mean, we as the public isolated him more than anything.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, much like they did Elvis and a few of the other stars. So,
yeah.
You know, but you have been busy, Paul. I got to tell you, I love the Stan Romanek story. I love the piece on the UFOs at Livermore Labs. That was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, Lawrence Livermore Labs. I mean, that was incredible. Because do you know much about that?
Just what you had published and a little bit of what I found kind of in the background.
Okay, okay. Well, Bill Burns of History Channel's UFO Hunters actually brought his team over there because Lawrence Livermore Labs is a hotspot for UFOs.
Okay.
And why is it a hotspot? It's because they have super laser technology over there. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor, was bragging about it. He goes, hey, we need to get some of these Hollywood types over here to Livermore to see the laser technology. I mean, this is a light show that Hollywood has never seen before.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I couldn't ignore it. I said, I have to go over there and investigate the Lawrence Livermore Labs. The Livermore citizens say that on a nightly basis, UFOs are seen there all the time.
Hmm.
So I brought a good team out there. I had David Mace. David Mace, Shannon was telling you about, is he was 18 years law enforcement with the Sacramento Police Department.
Okay.
And he's a great researcher. He gets a hold of documents that we cannot get a hold of. Average people just cannot get a hold of. But he has all the connections with the police department and everything else. So he's able to get these old deeds and everything else and criminal records and all kinds of stuff. Stuff that is sealed up, and he has access to it. So he dug up some information about Lawrence Livermore Labs. One of the main things that is very well known about, in 2006, a globe-type UFO was seen over Lawrence Livermore Labs, and people claimed that a laser hit it and brought it down. And guess what happened right afterwards? A tire fire happens, and the tire fire lasted like 2 years, and it gave the government enough time to clean up the debris. And it was a major cover-up that they shot down a UFO at the Lawrence Livermore Labs. And here we are at the campsite. We are looking at the night sky with telescopes and binoculars and everything else. We've got laser light, laser pin lights.
Okay.
And we have high-power flashlights for signaling of UFOs. Now, the Russians back in the day, we did an experiment by using psychics to kind of summon UFOs to make their appearance so they can actually witness the UFOs coming closer to them.
Hmm.
And so I utilized psychics to try to communicate with UFOs. I used the laser pin lights and the flashlights to try to get an intelligent signal back.
Okay.
And, of course, we were observing with telescopes and binoculars. Hmm. So it was a very interesting. Oh, wait, Shannon's telling me something here. What is it, Shannon?
You saw something.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that. That's the good part. That's the dessert. Okay. But anyway, we had investigators who actually saw what is considered on a UFO report as starlight UFOs. Starlight UFOs are UFOs that move in an erratic-type pattern.
Right.
They may blink off and on. They may actually vanish in front of your very eyes. So we had maybe, I would say, about 7 investigators who actually witnessed UFOs.
Wow, impressive. And a little birdie tells me that you're almost famous. Apparently, you're on the Angels and Demons video. Ive Street release.
Oh, Mysteries of Angels and Demons.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was the post-promotion of the movie with Tom Hanks, Angels and Demons.
Right. And the release date on that was June the 9th.
Right. But guess what? Shannon and I are going to be on Showtime's Penn and Teller's Bull. I can't say the next word.
But it's
about the Mayan prophecy of 2012. And that's where they actually flew us down to Mexico.
Absolutely.
And of course, Colin, they're going to rip us apart.
Of course, yeah. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk to Shannon and yourself about the trip down to Cancun.
Oh, great.
Right.
Yes.
We'll be right back with Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts from HPI International as they investigate the paranormal at the Mayan temple.
Just to tweak your memory, let's remind you about Natalie Holloway. She was
aged 18, weighed 110 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes. Natalie Holloway, graduating honors student at Mount Brook High School in Birmingham, Alabama. She was participating in a senior trip with classmates on the Caribbean island of Aruba when she disappeared. Apparently, she was last seen Monday, May the 30th, 2006, at approximately 01:30 hours, leaving Carlos and Charlie's nightclub. After missing her return flight home, Natalie's passport and luggage were discovered still in her hotel room. Foul play is suspected or abduction off the island by person or persons unknown.
If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Natalie Holloway, you are advised to contact the FBI tip line at 1-877-628-2533. We'll be right back with Paul Dale Roberts and Shannon McCabe, HPI Paranormal, right after this. David Baker is a psychic medium who makes contact with spirit guides, angels, and past over loved ones. He passes messages of love, healing, and sometimes forgiveness. David is a certified medium and angel therapy practitioner under Dr. Doreen Virtue, PhD.
Davey Baker, Psychic Medium, Tuesday, July the 14th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time in the Night Zone. We're in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Your host, Colin Knight. Phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And I have to tell you guys that I really enjoyed Shannon's piece on the 2012 and the end times at the HPI site. It was pretty darn interesting.
Why, thank you.
Well, as you know, Shannon, we've been in the Night Zone. We've been mercilessly trying to seek the answers of 2012. And I got to say, as a host, I appreciate it when the information is clearly spelled out. And your inclusion of the history on the Mayans was extraordinary. I do appreciate
you. Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me, Colin. I very much appreciate that. Thank you.
The one thing that I noticed with the Mayans is that their civilization really didn't exist a great deal of time, about 950 years, according to what we can figure out.
Right. It's really incredible how small of an amount of time and what a huge impact they may have on us.
Well, the one thing that kind of throws me off is that they talk about 250 A.D. to 1200 A.D., give or take, as their period of civilization, yet they talk about the Catholic fathers. I forget the guy's name now. Galanda.
Yes.
The Spanish priest in 1562.
The destroying of all the Bible or all the Mayan documents and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so nuts.
I mean, but they talk about destroying tombs and the likes that are over 5,000 years old.
Oh,
yet,
God, if they only just kept it, we'd have so much more to go on.
Well, he destroyed all of the papyrus books,
except
for a couple, apparently.
Yeah, there was the Dresden Codex. Is that the fall? The Dresden Codex is the only one that I guess is still in existence.
Right, right. And there was, it fascinates me that all of this could happen from such an ancient society. I mean, they predicted the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way. They predicted the alignments. I mean,
it's insane.
I still have to ask myself how on earth they did that, given the tools that they had of the time. Obviously, no computers as such, but their calculations are just right on the money.
It sounds pretty paranormal to me.
It does. It sounds like that to me. So let me get this right. You're sat there on Columbus Day, and 2008, the phone rings, and it's showtime.
Actually, I wrote the article on Columbus Day, and we went in October.
Oh, okay.
2008.
Okay.
And yeah, they called us up, and they called Paul because of an original article that he had written.
Right.
And we were absolutely astonished, and we said, yes, you know, we know about this stuff. We're your people. Send us. Let's do this.
Right.
And
now,
please do rip us apart, because that's what we expect.
the Penn and Teller BS show, that's about the easiest way to say it, on Showtime, they're out to debunk. They're out to prove that it's a load of BS, basically.
Well, what's funny is they don't even really debunk it. They just call it BS.
Yeah. And they don't rip it. Yeah. Have you seen the show? Have you been given a prior copy?
I have not.
Yeah.
I am told that to expect the worst.
Oh.
You know what, Colin? Our whole take on it is, you know what? We got a free, incredible, once in a lifetime vacation.
Absolutely.
Okay? We got to be followed around by cameras, which we really hate. And, you know, it was just one of those kind of things. We got to go to the Mayan temples when there was nobody there.
Right.
And Chichen Itza and Ekbalam, and it was incredible. It was just, I can't even tell you. It was the coolest trip ever.
So how was the vibe when you got there? When you went to Chichen Itza,
mm-hmm.
What did you sense? The energy there, is there a palpable feeling?
In the evening, a little bit more so, but it could have been my anxiety of trying to find something.
Right.
I personally don't have a whole lot of psychic feeling to me. I'm more of the, you know, show me and prove it kind of girl.
Right.
So... What I did, or what Paul and I did, was we kind of went around and we talked to people, and we got their vibe. And a lot of people were kind of like, yeah, I'm really scared that the end of the world is coming. But you know what's funny is all those people that were scared of the end of the world were from the United States. And all the people that were not scared of the end of the world were the Mayans.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Mayans do, they do kind of give that... December the 21st, 2012, the winter equinox, is when their calendar ends. But it doesn't specifically say, you know, kiss your backside goodbye, it's all over.
Right, right. Well, what we did was and that was our quest. Okay, what do the Mayans think? Can we prove this theory? So what we did was we went to the highest Mayan we could absolutely get to, and that was the actual Mayan princess.
Right.
And... she was this incredible, tiny little 4'10" little lady. She was so adorable and sweet. And we asked her, you know, what's going to happen? And she said, there's going to be an earth change. Well, she told me this in Mayan, and I had a translator.
Right.
And I said, an earth change? What do you mean? Are we going to die? Are we going to perish? And she said, oh no, good things are going to happen, and some bad things are going to happen. So she was very vague.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm feeling okay about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and even if you weren't, and even if you weren't, there isn't much we could do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's written in history, the chances are that it's
exactly. There's nothing we can do. you know, and just sit there and barbecue yourself. Goodbye.
Yeah, according to some exactly. According to some historians, you know, the Earth has been destroyed 5 times. So this is just another one of those one of those moves, I think. And I think mankind will come out of it. I don't think we'll come out of it with the billions of population that we have now, but mankind will come out of this, I think.
I totally agree with you, and I kind of look at it almost in the same way I did with Y2K. You know, we all sat around and getting ready for the Happy New Year and you know, praying that our Windows 96 or whatever it was, whatever we had on our computer wasn't going to crash us.
Well, I know, like, the company that
just went by and everything was cool.
The company I worked for, I think they spent thousands of dollars getting
my
ready.
Company too.
You know, and nothing, nothing happened.
Yeah, but, and we all sat there and laughed at 12:01.
But the Mayans do talk about a possible axis shift. You know, that there's going to be a pole shift. They do talk about that in their writing. So, I can see that that is in itself is going to be quite the slippage on Earth. I mean,
that would be pretty catastrophic, and I really hope it doesn't happen.
Well, you and I both, for sure.
Yeah.
I kind of go, I guess, with the Mayan, more of the metaphysical kind of thinking.
I totally agree.
You know, that our planet's going to come into some kind of higher spiritual alignment and transformation, I think.
Which would be so incredible.
It would.
For all of us that really enjoy the paranormal. I'm so excited to see what happens, although I don't like to rush time because I don't want any wrinkles.
Right.
But I can't wait to see what happens.
Oh, I'm getting a note from Hans here. He tells me that there are 2 books in existence that didn't get destroyed. And the one book we never mentioned was, I don't even know if I can say this, but the Relicin de la Cosa de Yucatan. From 1566.
He is right. I totally forgot about that one. You're right.
Well,
that was the Dresden.
He's a Googleaholic, so...
I love it.
And he loves to make me say words that he knows that this Englishman can't get his tongue around. You should hear me trying to say Middle East names. It's even worse.
Can you say Chichen Itza?
Chichen Itza. I've been practicing that for
a while. Let me let you hear Paul say it. Say it, Paul.
Okay. Hey, Colin, Chichen Itza.
Chichen Itza.
Hey, I got to tell you something really fast, though. Really fast. The Mayans, actually predicted the end of their own civilization with accuracy. And now check this out. With the codex that they had, they also too discovered that the Mayans actually predicted that in the future we'll be selling water, bottled water. So that was kind of amazing. And how is it that they knew that there was a womb in the center of our galaxy when the galactic alignment with the Earth and to the Milky Way, they said there was a womb inside the galaxy.
Yeah.
Scientists recently found out that we have a black hole in the middle of our Milky Way.
Yeah.
So how did they know that? And also, too, they said they got this information from a white god, from the heavens. And so I believe that somehow they knew that on December 21st, 2012, there was going to be a major change. And when you have a major change, well, let's look at all the things that are happening now. We have North Korea. They're over there practicing with their missiles and their nuclear missiles and everything else. And Obama, they're all excited. We have Greenland melting. The sea levels are rising. By 2100, the sea levels are going to rise. And that means that cities and everything else are going to be under. So no matter, let's say not 2012, but 2100 and on, scientists said there's no way of turning back. That New York and everything else and Florida will be underwater.
Right.
And that means people will die. So there is going to be a major change.
Well, people will die if it's a sudden change. But, I mean, if the oceans are creeping up a little bit at a time, the major cities will be able to compensate if not moving inland, so to speak. But I do agree that, you know, the future of mankind is very tentative. We were here by an accident, and we may leave by an accident. But I do prescribe to that theory that they talk about the tall, red-headed, red-bearded man that came from the ocean. gave them all of this information and left back by the ocean. And that story, even though it's a little disjointed in the Mayan history, it definitely has some pretty solid foundations and basis. There are actually hieroglyphs and drawings of this interaction with this person.
And here's the amazing thing is, too, and this is something that Shannon's actually experiencing, but and a lot of other people are experiencing, something that I'm not experiencing, is the 11-11 phenomenon. And the 11-11 phenomenon, they said it ties into the 2012 prophecy, because 11-11 is the winter solstice is supposed to have started. And a lot of people are now looking at their microwaves and their watches or their emails and getting 11-11 messages.
Yeah.
And Shannon's been experiencing this for 8 years, and how funny it is that it started 8 years ago. So I was kind of blown away when Shannon told me, she goes, yeah, this has been going on with me for about 8 years. And I said, oh, that's funny, because that's when the phenomenon actually started, the 11-11 phenomenon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So.
Well, for the last couple of months on Mondays, why Mondays, I have no idea.
Mm.
But I am waking up in the middle of the night at 3:33 a.m. on a Monday morning. This has happened for about 7 weeks now. And it's just a wake up, check the time, and go back to sleep. But it is a wake up at 3:33.
Huh. Now, that's pretty odd. And you know, maybe we need to get a mnemologist to actually look at what 333 means.
Yeah.
Or and what I'm seeing, there is a number that I do see. I see 13 all the time. Mm. I mean, I could put something into the microwave, and I'll turn around, and bam, it's 13. It's like every single time. It's like,
That is a little freaky. That's a little freaky. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some more about Chichen Itza, and we'll talk about the Mayan temples a little more. How's that?
That sounds good. Okay. Let's take a little break.
The ancient Sumerian text, just in a very broad overview, basically tell us that these Anunnaki came from space and landed on the Earth in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. They began to set up a colony that they called Eden.
You are in the Night Zone on LawTalkRadio.com.
David Baker is a psychic medium who makes contact with spirit guides, angels, and passed over loved ones. He passes messages of love, healing, and sometimes forgiveness. David is a certified medium and angel therapy practitioner under Dr. Doreen Virtue, PhD.
Davey Baker, Psychic Medium, Tuesday, July the 14th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time in the Night Zone.
In this part of Lincolnshire, the skyline is dotted with huge wind turbines, but today one of them isn't turning. People who live nearby say that it was hit by a UFO.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. KBFM Talk.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
It's not much question at all what there's life throughout the universe. We're not alone in the universe at all. No, for sure we're not alone. Now, have we been able to identify for sure where the other planets are? No, we have not. Certainly not in our solar system. But they've identified quite a number of planets now that very likely could be life-bearing planets. I happen to be privileged enough to have been on the fact that we have been visited on this planet. And the UFO phenomenon is real, although it's been covered up by our governments for quite a long time.
You are in the Night Zone with Colin Knights.
And that's, of course, the voice of Mr. Mitchell, one of the astronauts who went to the moon. And he's quite adamant in the fact that we have been visited and that we are being visited. and that it is being covered by the government. So Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts from the Haunted Paranormal International is with us, headquartered in California. Shannon, the owner of HPI, and Paul Dale Roberts, the general manager, our Pied Piper of the paranormal. And I believe I have Shannon with me. Is that correct?
Yes, you do.
I do. Shannon, so Penn and Teller, they want to take you down to Cancun. They send a film crew with you, and you get open range to do whatever you do for the paranormal.
We sure did. They basically kind of let us set up the investigations, and we told them, you know, what we think we should do, and they, you know, obviously set up how they wanted to do it. And we told them UFOs are connected to the temples, the Mayan temples, and we thought, you know, hey, let's do a UFO investigation. So we set up an quote-unquote all-night UFO investigation that lasted roughly 12 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it's the beauty of reality television. It can make it look like it's all night long, but really we were only out there for 12 minutes. And we also did, EVPs inside of the pyramid, and we actually got an incredible EVP where Paul and I were sitting there trying to, you know, on camera speak to whatever might be there. And I actually had picked up some Mayan phrases from the princess, and I started speaking in Mayan, and I got a response back in what we think is Mayan language.
Wow.
It was really incredible. I'd love to let you hear it, but I might get sued, so.
Yeah, no, we'll
wait until the 16th.
Yeah, we'll wait until the show airs, and then we'll go all over it. But as you say, usually from what I've seen about the Penn and Teller show, and we don't get it in Canada, but I do manage to pick it up through some nefarious means. From what I've seen, it's all about trashing the story.
You bet. Yeah, they want to tell everybody that it's, you know, that the end of the world is BS. And in all actuality, Paul and I pretty much agree. But since we knew so much about it, they thought, you know, hey, these are the two best ones to keep down there. Let's see if we can make them say, we believe in the prophecy of 2012 and we're all going to die.
Right.
That's what they were trying to get out of us the whole trip. And we never once uttered those words. Now, if they splice it together that we do, hey,
beauty
of television. But, Paul and I were pretty, we were laughing to ourselves. And we actually shot our own video called Behind the Scenes 2012, The Real Truth.
Right.
And we're going to put that out just before the show airs and let people make their own assumptions on how it's going to go.
Are you going to put that up on the HPI website?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll definitely send that to you.
Okay, because I definitely want to get a copy of that and have a look at you guys in the background. Because
gotcha.
People do not realize that with television, how things are condensed and how much time is involved for that 12 minutes.
Well, what's incredible is they went to Belgium prior to interviewing us,
right,
and they interviewed a gentleman over there who truly believes that the end of the world is going to happen,
right,
and then they took Paul and I down to Chichen Itza and Cancun and Ekbalam and, had us kind of do the investigation part. So the show is 30 minutes long, so I'd like to see how they're going to condense 5 days' worth of filming into that small amount of time. It's going to be really interesting.
It would be more interesting to be able to get all of the footage. And,
oh, that's your yourself. I would love to get my hands on that.
Yeah, that would be an interesting to see what didn't make it into the show. But so what's next on the agenda? What have you guys got up on your list of things to do over the next couple of months?
Well, we just wrapped a large feature article in a magazine out of London called Dogs Today, where we did investigations with our animals. And the Animal Planet kind of picked up on that. And so now we are working with them on a documentary out here in the, it's called the Quépe Valley.
Right.
And there's a wonderful gentleman that we met that lives on a huge farm, just acres and acres and acres of wildlife. And it's amazing. And so we went out there, we did some filming, and Animal Planet's going to come out and go back out there with us and take the dogs. And so that's kind of on our horizon.
Good.
And then we are also working with the Monster Quest. Going to be doing a few episodes next season with them. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what they are yet because we're bound, but it's going to be really cool.
Good, good, good. That's what we're looking for is, you know, you just keep sending the information out there because it's the information that counts, Shannon. Doesn't matter what vehicle we use to get it out there.
You got it.
You know, we got to get these people to understand that something is happening. We don't know what it is, but something out there is happening. There is a change in the mindset of the world, I think.
I have to agree with you on that.
I think right now we're looking at the negative changes as countries and nationalities align themselves. But I think once we get through this violent period, you know, I do believe, as John Hogue has said from Hogue Prophecies, that the Aquarian time is going to be a time of knowing. And I think a lot of things are going to come to us. I think
you're right. I believe in that exactly what you said, and I think our world will be really beautiful when that happens.
Not that
it isn't now, but right. I just think it's going to be even better.
Well, I think that mankind can do a better job in a lot of the kindness and and how they deal with other people. You know, we haven't come very far when we're still beating each other about the head and shoulders with sticks.
You got it.
You know, we gotta come past this because this is the animal in us that if there are people out there that are more advanced than we are, Shannon, and they're looking at Earth, I could see why they don't want to make contact. You know, we're a pretty violent race. So over the last little while, have you noticed an increase in paranormal activity at all?
You know, it's always been fairly steady with us. We've never really noticed that there's ever been a lull, so it seems the same to me from pretty much inception to now with HPI. I mean, we field calls on a daily basis, and we, you know, go through. I just archived 17,000 emails from 2009 so far. So.
Oh, I hear you on that. Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff going on out there that people want to know about, and what's great is you know, they feel comfortable coming to us and asking us.
Absolutely.
And makes us feel good, you know, and we try and give them the information that we truly believe in, and they can use it however they like.
Absolutely. In one of the promo bumps, there was a mention regarding the Holloway investigation. Has anything further come of that one in Aruba?
You know what? Let me actually pass you to Paul for that one because
okay.
Paul's really you know, up on that.
Alrighty.
One second.
Yep.
Hey, Colin, can I do a shout-out real quick to Chris Hawley and to Don Ellis of Alien Seeker News?
By all means, you may do that, sir.
Okay.
You already did, so.
Okay.
But what I was asking Shannon was, you guys did the investigation down in Aruba, as the previous bump kind of indicated. Has there been anything further on that? I know the young lad there had confessed, and then he took the confession back. Have we gone any further with this? Has there been any more information?
Well, one thing, he's never been arrested, so, and that just stinks. And I'm just going to be really honest with you. I mean, the guy, we know he did it. I mean, anybody else, if they made a confession like that, they would have been arrested quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand why the Netherlands doesn't do anything with this guy. And I had, you know, when I got the article out, I did get some emails from other people who have claimed that they have seen a blonde phantom woman on the beach.
Right.
So, and then, of course, too, I got the one EVP, in which it could have been Natalie, I don't know.
Right.
But basically she's saying, you know, help me or I need help or something like that.
Right.
So,
That was the one we played on the Natalie Holloway show that we did together, the special some time ago, isn't it?
Right.
And I had a lot of feedback on that. A lot of people wanting to have a listen to the audio and to be able to, you know, back check it and what have you. And it stood up. I mean, nobody was able to come back and say, oh, no, that was somebody whispering in the background. It was definitely part of the EVP. It was part of the audio. It wasn't added or you know, or created. It was just there.
Yeah, it was just there. You know, it's really amazing. So, but, I mean, the entity didn't identify herself as Natalie.
Right.
So I can't go back and say, yeah, it was definitely Natalie.
Right.
But it was oh, no, Shannon said that her phone's going to die.
Uh-oh. Well, we've got a few minutes left to go here, so that's okay. We'll hang in there. Bear with me. Stay safe. Don't do anything crazy.
And I have my cell phone now. You can call me.
That's okay. We're 5 minutes out of the show, so not an issue there, Paul. If it dies on me, we can close up the show. But I do appreciate the information that you guys get out there onto the Internet. The more people that visit sites and understand what's going on, the better. I find that if sites such as yours, the HPI International, I mean, is absolutely an amazing service, if you will. And
right.
I'm really appreciative that you guys are actually out there to be able to, you know, help us through some of the information that's, you know, there is nefarious information out there, and you guys managed to work your way through that bad information and come up with the good stuff. So I want to make sure before your phone dies that I do thank you about that. It is very important that that information goes out. And I think we're going to lose. Yeah, I think I've lost Paul. It sounds like their phone has finally died. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts from the Haunted Paranormal International, HPI. If you're doing any wandering around and having a look at websites and the likes, make sure you go to hpiinternational.net. It's an absolute fabulous site, and you'll most certainly be glad that you managed to get there. Because it is the information that's there is second to none. Let's put it that way. It's an impressive amount of information. As we move up closer to the end of the show, I do want to remind you that David Baker will be with us next week, a psychic medium, and the phone lines will be open, and David will be taking the calls, and we'll be able to give you a reading over the phone. So David Baker next week. We'll be right back in just a couple of seconds.
It started with this, in the most humble and simple of ways, a tiny seed of an idea. Back then, Calgary was little more than a scattering of farmers, ranchers, and First Nations. But the dreams were as big as the endless blue sky above. Bound by a commitment to the land and a sense of unlimited possibilities, a new community was born. The unique heritage that we celebrate so proudly has served us well across the march of time. Though our community has grown and changed, we have never forsaken our roots. Our shared values continue to inspire us and connect us, season after season. 120 years later, the Calgary Stampede is still a dream that belongs to an entire community. Western hospitality, community involvement, integrity, and pride of place. These values are more important than ever in a changing world. The Stampede has always been a reflection of Calgary itself, growing, renewing, and reaching for new heights. The Stampede spirit continues to beat at the very heart of our community.
Hey, guys, got a minute? I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.
And we have to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a blast. We shall talk to you next Tuesday. You all take care now. Good night.